If you've been around church for very long, you've probably at some point heard a sermon on 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7, which says that you need to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Well, in our last program, we discussed four problems with the way that this passage has been traditionally interpreted. But today, Bob will present an alternate view of 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7. Also, he and Sean will talk about four strengths of the alternate view. I think you'll find this very helpful. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're discussing an article that Bob wrote on 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7. The title of that article is Testing Yourself Regarding God's Approval and Disapproval.
Right.
And that's in the 2020 spring issue of the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, more of an academic journal that we publish twice a year. But don't be afraid of that. It's the type of thing that anyone really with an education can be able to understand. It's written so that lay people who are interested in the Bible and pastors can read and benefit from this. You know, we have blogs, which are
right.
The simplest things that we write.
Right.
Then we have the magazine, which is a little more developed, a little longer articles. And then we have the journal.
You haven't mentioned, but the journal not only has 4 or 5 or sometimes 6 articles in the range of 10 to 20 pages, but we also have about 10 to 15 book reviews.
Yeah, people love the book reviews. And that's all available. All the older issues are from, I think we keep the last 2 years offline, but everything else from the last 30 years is all available online for free. So you can look at it at faithalone.org.
And it's searchable.
So in this, let's just summarize what the traditional view of 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7, is that Paul, when he said to them, examine yourselves, he was telling them, examine yourself to see whether or not you're born again.
Right. And that, we've seen lots of flaws with that. The biggest one of which is that's not at all what Paul's talking about.
It's totally out of left field in terms of the context.
Right. What Paul is talking about is you should test yourself to see if you're in a state of approval by the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he approve of you right now? Are you in his approval? If you were to die now, would you be one he would say, well done, good and faithful servant? Would you rule with him?
And approval's not the same as being born again.
No. A person can be born again and disapproved.
Right.
Or a person can be born again and approved. We see this all through the New Testament. Paul says, if we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And that's denying us the privilege of ruling with him.
I mean, maybe an example of this would be King David.
Exactly. Yeah.
King David, a man after God's own heart, but then he has a very dark episode where he commits adultery with Bathsheba.
Right.
Now, did God approve of him during that time?
No. In fact, Paul says in Psalm 51 that he was grieving during that time. It was about a year before Nathan confronts him and says, you're the man, and David repents.
Right.
But if he were to die during that time, he would have died in a state of disapproval.
Right.
But God in his grace didn't take his life. God in his grace sent the prophet to confront him, and to David's credit, he immediately confessed his sin to God and repented of his sin.
Right.
And from that point on, lived in a state of God's approval. But another example would be Solomon. Solomon was an author of Scripture, 3 books. He was the wisest man, one of the wealthiest men ever. He was one of Israel's greatest kings.
He built the temple.
Yeah. But then he marries all these foreign wives, 700 wives, most of whom were pagans, many of whom were idolaters, and he built houses of worship for them for their idols.
Right, so he not only built the one true God's temple in Jerusalem, he also built these chapels for these foreign deities.
Right, and in 1 Kings 11, we're told that at the end of his life, he himself was an idolater.
Man.
So he died disapproved, even though certainly he'll be with the Lord forever. He'll be in the kingdom. God doesn't have unbelievers writing books of Scripture. But on the other hand, he did not die in a state of approval.
So it's possible then that he's not going to, it looks like he's not going to reign with Christ.
I do not think he will, because the New Testament tells us that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom. And inheriting the kingdom is ruling with Christ. So really, Solomon's kind of a sad case, because here's one of the greatest men of all time who's not going to be one of the greatest men in the kingdom.
Right. So that's what Paul was talking about. He was not questioning the Corinthians' relationship to Jesus because he calls them brothers. He calls them brethren. He calls them in Christ multiple times, over and over and over again. So he assumes that these are people with a genuine in Christ relationship.
Right. Let me give you a kind of an interpretive paraphrase. This is what I put in the article, and this is not what the text says. This is not a literal translation of the Greek. This is a paraphrase, and here's what I say. Yourselves examine as to whether you are in the faith, i.e., whether you are abiding in the faith in your experience. See if you yourselves pass the approval test. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, i.e., is abiding in you, unless indeed you are disapproved? But I trust you will know that we are not disapproved. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not for the purpose that we should appear to be shown as approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disapproved by some of our detractors. That, I believe, is what the passage is talking about. And the emphasis over and over and over again is approval and disapproval. And Paul is saying, look, he and his co-workers are in a state of approval, but not all of the readers were in that state of approval, and he's wanting all of them to be approved.
Now, at the end of the article, you talk about some benefits
right.
of your interpretation. Last episode, we talked about some of the detriments of the traditional view. What are some of the benefits that you see?
Okay, the same four things that are problems for the traditional understanding of 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 7 become strengths of the view which I'm proposing. The first benefit is that the alternate interpretation keeps certainty of everlasting life intact. I'm not doubting my salvation if I take this understanding.
Yeah, so you calling people to maybe doubt whether or not they're going to get eternal rewards kind of leaves assurance of eternal life intact. So you can have your assurance of eternal life. You can know, I'm going to be with Jesus forever. I just don't know if I'm going to get that crown. I just don't know if I'm going to rule with him.
Exactly. That is a great benefit, and it leads to the second benefit. The second benefit is the alternate interpretation promotes spiritual growth. Because if I continue to know for sure that I am eternally secure,
yeah.
then doesn't that produce gratitude in me?
Well, do you think that being doubtful of whether or not you're going to be approved by Christ, do you think that could stunt spiritual growth?
Hypothetically, it could. If you're someone like Monk, Sharon sometimes watches that
show.
You're autistic and you've got obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right.
Yeah, I could see how that might paralyze you. But if you're psychologically sound, it would not. Just like in your own family, you know that your dad approves of you right now. But you know if you went out and murdered somebody, don't you know that your dad wouldn't approve of
right,
you at that
yeah,
point?
Yeah.
It seems to me that the fact that we know we are eternally secure produces love for Jesus and gratitude to Jesus as long as I focus on that. And so I would say one of the benefits of this understanding of approval and disapproval is that it's promoting love for Christ and gratitude, which is the basis for spiritual growth.
Right. Do you watch Downton Abbey or have
you
ever
yeah.
seen it?
Oh, yeah. Sharon and I, we even saw the new movie.
Yeah, well, so I saw the new movie. And what I loved about the new movie, even though the story was so simple, right? The king is coming for a night.
Right.
What I loved about that show was the staff are so excited to serve the king.
Right.
And the plot line of that story is that, well, the king is bringing his own servants and the Downton Abbey staff are going to be kicked out of the house and they're not going to get to serve the king. But they want to serve him so badly that they come up with a way of getting the king's servants out of the way so they get to serve the king. I just thought about Christians. Isn't it going to be our experience in the kingdom, and shouldn't it be our experience now to want to serve the king?
That is great.
To get so yeah. much joy and pleasure and to be so eager to serve the king.
And the more we can serve him, the better.
Right.
Basically, every believer in the kingdom is going to serve him, Revelation 22, verse 5, but some are going to serve him in a more abundant capacity than others.
And the question for the Downton Abbey staff in that movie wasn't, am I staff at all?
That's a good point.
You know, am I working here at all? That's not it was all focused on, do I get to serve the king? And it's the same thing with Christians. If you're wondering about, can I get a job at Downton Abbey, then serving the king isn't even going to be on your radar. So assurance of salvation, you need to know that you are born again before you can really start focusing on serving the king. Does
Amen.
That make sense?
It
I don't
does.
Know. If, I don't know if that illustration kind of came together.
I think
together
it does, the yeah. Okay, well, there's a third one. And the third one is that if the unbeliever hears this interpretation of 2 Corinthians 13:5-7, let's say they're in a church and they hear this taught, then they're going to doubt their own salvation.
Sure.
And what are they going to think they need to do in order to show they're really saved?
They need to be a good person.
So they're going to start trying harder.
Right.
But that keeps them from being born again.
Right.
Because to be born again, they need to simply believe, not think that somehow if they try hard enough, they're going to make it.
Right. The traditional interpretation hurts evangelism.
It does. And then that's the fourth point.
Whereas this view promotes evangelism.
Right. And the fourth point is if a believer who knows he has everlasting life adopts this view, well, then he loses his assurance, and then what happens is he is less likely to share his faith, and even if he does, he's not going to share it clearly.
That's someone. So if you take the traditional interpretation, you're going to lose your assurance and not want to evangelize.
Right.
But if you take it in context, it's about approval and disapproval for rewards, then what?
Well, then you're going to be motivated to lead people to Christ, and once they come to faith in Christ, you're going to be motivated to teach them about the judgment seat of Christ
right.
and eternal rewards.
And that's really the real driving motivation of the Christian life. A lot of people who believe in work salvation see the whole goal of the Christian life as to whether or not you get to be saved at all. And this is a radically different goal, what you're
right.
presenting. And you're presenting is, no, it's an accomplished fact if you believe that you have everlasting life. Now the goal is to win his approval.
Once saved, always saved is true. But once approved, always approved is not true.
Mm.
And so if you're walking with Christ now, great. Keep walking with Christ. The single most important passage in the entire Bible dealing with God's approval or disapproval is 2 Corinthians 13:5-7. I hope you'll prayerfully study it and meditate on it and see the power of striving to end your life hearing the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday. I hope that your weekend is wonderful, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.